It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl Demasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans? September 13th, 2023, and welcome to the Coach's Corner Sports Network. It's the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, yours truly, Carl Demasi, and of course, my little buddy, the baseball fanatic who has a cranial vault of baseballs in his head. That's how wacky he is, but he eats, sleeps, and drinks statistics, and that's why he's my co-host, and we're glad you could join me. Remember, the Coach's Corner has four shows. We got two live every week, okay? That's, of course, Who's On Rubbin' and Grubbin', okay? Wednesday nights, just finished from 6 to 7 o'clock with Brandon Bain, the Atlanta man, of course, the OG, the producer, Lawrence Bennett. Then yours truly, the Carl Demasi Sports Report, every Saturday morning from 9 till whenever, usually about 10:30. Then we have one other show that's live, but they only go once a year, the beginning of April at the Masters. That's the Herb Brothers doing the 19th hole. And, of course, one podcast, yours truly, right here, Who's On First, baseball podcast with the coach. And joining me now on the Coach's Corner hot seat, like he does every Wednesday night, is the baseball fanatic himself, Kyle Lawson. What's up, Cubby man?
Good to see you, Coach. Another week, we're back at it as we inch closer to playoff baseball. And I'm excited to break it down with you tonight.
Hey, I mean, it's a lot of excitement. We're getting down. We do have some pennant races going on. We definitely have some wild card races going on, and that's what it's all about. We play four innings, okay? Inning number one, we go around the horn. If you don't know what around the horn is, we're throwing the ball from third to second to first to home to the shortstop to the second base to the pitcher. I don't know, wherever he is, okay? Tonight we're going to talk about, you know, the playoffs, the races, and then, you know, a little premature of who's the MVP in both leagues, who's got a shot at the Cy Young in both leagues. I know he's drooling because one of his cubbies has a shot at the Cy Young. And then, of course, rookies of the year. So that'll be around the horn, inning number one. Inning number two, we focus on the Braves. It's the Braves chop. Talk about Ronald Acuna. He's in that MVP campaign race. But don't forget about Matty Olson, which I think is going to hit 60 home runs this year. And now who's going to be the biggest challenge to the Braves in the playoffs? I think it's going to be themselves. Then, of course, you know, the fanatic has a little injury report on some of the Braves players. Inning number three, only one local player left playing baseball outside the Major League Baseball, and that's, of course, J.B. Wendelken in the what's the league called there, buddy?
He is in the Nippon Professional Baseball League. He's in the Japanese League with the Yokohama Bay Stars.
Okay. I think they call it the DNA or something like that, right?
DNA.
I don't know. It's something on the website. He pitches. So I don't know. We'll get into the Bay Stars later on. Then, of course, we got to talk a little bit about Savannah Bananas. They're going to wind up the season. They got two games left up there in New York, in Syracuse, and at Doubleday Field, Cooperstown. And then we'll play trivia because right now it's tied. 5-5. That's
it's
right.
Tied.
The coach is tied with the baseball fanatic. All right. Up first, let's go around the horn like we do every week. Let's start with the junior circuit. We'll start in the AL East, which basically it's a dogfight now between just, I say, Baltimore and the Devil Rays.
Yeah, it certainly is, Coach, right now. I mean, you got Baltimore best record in the American League right now, 91-53. But the Rays, who have been terrific all year, and they are only three games back. And get this, they have an 8.5 game lead in that wild card spot. And Toronto is 11.5 out, but they're holding serve with a wild card spot of their own. That just tells you how good the AL East is. But this division, I got to tell you, it's going to come down to the last week of the season for both of these clubs. I still think the Baltimore Orioles are going to win with all that young talent and great pitching.
I mean, you got no qualm with me here. I mean, we got excited early in the year with the Cincinnati Reds, and we really weren't paying much notice to the Birds out of Baltimore. And, I mean, they've just been great. And the funny thing is, as bad as the Yankees and the Red Sox have played this year, they're both over 500, and they're both, I think, mathematically out of the wild card race. They're both only 7.5 games out of that race. So,
I think they're not going to come close to getting in. Toronto and Seattle, you know, Texas and Tampa Bay are the main teams fighting for that out. I think, though, I'm going to jump a little early on you. The AL Cy Young Award winner is going to come from this division.
Yeah, I think you can make a really good point from that. And Gerrit Cole, with a really underachieving Yankees team, he's 13-4. He's still the guy that was paid all the money to come to the Big Apple and do the job in the Bronx.
He's done the job. It's too bad they haven't got anybody else to do the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, Coach, 100%. And, yeah, another name you could actually mention coming out of there, and I know we're jumping a little bit too, but Kevin Gausman for Toronto.
Yeah,
another great pitcher.
So we'll get back to that in a second. Okay, let's go out to the AL Central where, Tampa Bay came back and knocked Minnesota off today. But you know what? The Twinkies are up 7.5 games. I think it's a lock there that Minnesota's going to be the team in. And that's the only team from the AL Central.
Yeah, I really believe that too, Coach. I mean, it's just obvious. The only team over 500 right now, and they're only 7 games over 500 right now. They would be in third or fourth place in a lot of other divisions in baseball right now. But they're the team that continues to play well, and they're going to win that division comfortably. I feel like we've said it for 3 weeks.
So, all right, that's short and sweet. We'll go now. We're not going to talk about who we think that might come out of there with one of the awards, whether it be the MVP, the Cy Young, or Rookie of the Year. We'll go out
west.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Then we go out west. We got the, of course, the Houston Astros, only one game over Texas, Seattle. You want to talk about September and a pennant race? Go out to the AL West.
Lots of fun. And I mean, Houston, like the sleeping giant they are, found a way to claw their way back. There's too much talent on that ball club. They bring back, Justin Verlander comes back, you know, World Series hero with them right now. Texas is a really talented team, and so are the Seattle Mariners. Each of these three teams have spent time being atop the perch in the AL West. Obviously, you know what Oakland is, and then you got the underachieving Angels down there in Anaheim right now, but Seattle's had a rough week. But really, Houston and the Rangers have really just kind of held pace right now. And honestly, the Rangers, they're right in the mix for the wild card. They get that second spot locked up.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be pretty right
now.
Right now. So we'll see what happens. Okay, we'll stay out in the West. We'll go with the NL West. Of course, it's over. The Dodgers, 13 games up on Arizona, 14 games up on San Francisco. I mean, those two have a very, very – well, Arizona's right now got a shot in the wild card, but San Francisco, I think San Francisco's Miami. Cincinnati might sneak in there, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I honestly right now, before we get to the wild card, the Dodgers have locked this thing up. It's a matter of days before they clinch the playoff spot and probably a week before they actually lock down another division title out west. It was interesting for a minute with the Giants and – Arizona, and boy, were they a thorn in my Cubby's side over the last few days. That was a lousy weekend, and we got to play them again, but at least we get to play them in Wrigley Field we will be on the road. But Arizona is a talented ball club. They got two terrific pitchers, and they may actually have a Rookie of the Year on that lineup. But bottom line, division-wise, Dodgers have locked it up. Forget about it. They'll be doing their celebration in a mere few days.
And Arizona and San Francisco looking in maybe possibly a wild card spot for either one of those teams. Forget about the Padres. The Friars are fried. So with all that talent, they couldn't do anything. So, all right.
Nope.
I know this makes the man happy. I know he had a tough couple of games with the Diamondbacks, but the Cubs are still hanging in there, 4.5 games out. They're in second spot in the wild card. So what do you think about the NL Central, your home division?
Well, honestly, it'll come down to the wire between the Cubs and the Brewers. Of course, Milwaukee continues to play tonight. They'll play looking for a sweep against Miami. And I'm hoping beyond all hope that Miami finds a way to win so we continue to stay 4 games back. But next weekend, the Brewers and the Cubs will be back at it, and this could really determine who wins the division right now. There's a mere 4 and 5 games with 2 weeks to play. Yes, the Cubs and the Brewers, I really believe, and I've said this It's going to come down to the wire once the Reds fell off. Then it's going to be the last week of the season that determines who wins this division. And start to lose sleep over it. It's driving me crazy, as you know. These are two really talented ball clubs that know each other and do not like each other.
And you won't be going bed early because they're out in Arizona, so it'll be a late night games for you.
Hey, it's over the weekend. I can stay up as late as I want.
Oh, the wife's going to let you do that?
Yeah, she doesn't care what I do, and I don't care what she does. We love each other very much.
All right. Hey, but don't forget, you know, you're going to have a race next weekend with that. Don't forget Baltimore and Tampa Bay are going to be going at it too.
Oh, that's going to be terrific. You're going to have two of the best divisional races that are going to come down to the last week, and that's what makes baseball special. And I cannot wait for it. And honestly, I don't even know what we're going to be talking about next week, but I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit different on both sides.
It's definitely going to look pretty, it's definitely interesting, and it'll look pretty different next week. All right. Of course, the NL East, it's just like the Dodgers. The Braves are up 16 games. The magic number is 2. So they win tonight. They clinch it for the sixth year in a row, the NL East. So what are you going to say about it, buddy?
All I can say is, yeah, they have the best record in Major League Baseball. They're 45 games over 500. Philadelphia continues to hang in there. They're a really talented ball club, and they can hit the long ball, but it looks like another year for the wild card for the Phillies. But remember, the Phillies won the pennant last year with only 85 games and found their way to the World Series via the wild card, and that's why I love expanded playoffs. So that's a heck of a roundup, and this is why we do it, Coach.
I mean, you know, it's just crazy. Philadelphia got hot and they made that run, and that's all that matters. Get into the wild card playoff. Get into the Get into the dance, and you got a shot at winning. Okay, quickly. All right, let's start off with the youngsters. NL rookies of the year. You already blew my bubble because you already talked about the Arizona Diamondback guy. But go ahead, I'll let you talk about him.
Okay, Corbin Carroll's been absolutely terrific. The young slugger for the Diamondbacks, he's got a lot of speed. He's an unbelievably talented player, and he's been an absolute catalyst in that lineup that's kept them in the hunt. He would be my pick for NL Rookie of the Year.
What's amazing, though, is you got three Cincinnati Red rookies that might, you know, have a shot, dream.
Oh!
Spencer Steer, Matt McClain, and Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh my gosh. Like the Ellie. And it's a testament to how well run that the Cincinnati farm system is. Guys that you can call up in the middle of a divisional race that immediately contribute. And I mean, you look at Ellie and just what a meteoric rise he had. Of course, he's going to have to find a way to kind of, retool after the league gets to see him a little bit. But a lot of talent. And yeah, you mentioned Spencer Steer and just have a lot of really good play. Matt McClain. Yeah, of course. Guys that are going to get votes. It's crazy to think you're going to have rookie of the year votes from one team.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Three.
All right. Let's go now to the Kings of the Hill, the Cy Young Award from the NL. Okay. Justin Steele, which I know is near and dear to your heart. Spencer Strider to all us other people in Georgia. Zach Gallen from the Diamondbacks, Blake Snell from San Diego. Those are my four tops picks. And you know what? I could see Steele getting it over Strider. But Strider's, I mean, just to me, he's got two more losses than Steele. ERA's a little higher, but almost 100 more strikeouts.
And, he's a strikeout machine. Yeah.
Right. So what's your thoughts?
Both of these. Oh, well, I'm right there with you. Another name that I throw out there. I mean, did you mention Blake Snell? You said Blake Snell,
yes.
Correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you did. I was about to say Snell, Strider, and Steele. I mean, the three S's right there. Talented players, two of the pitchers in the middle of divisional races and pennant races, of course, in Strider and Steele. Blake Snell has really held it down. He's got 209 strikeouts. All three of these pitchers are going to get votes right now. Strider, I mean, 250 strikeouts, that's crazy.
I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. Of course, I'm
in today's baseball, it's crazy.
Yes, I'm pulling for Spencer Strider, and we'll see what happens with that. All right, the last the last special award that goes out every year, and then of course it goes to they go to the baseball MVP overall. But right now we're just talking the conferences, the leagues. But we got Acuna, Mookie Betts divisions. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Matt Olson are my top four picks to have a shot at the MVP.
Yeah, it's honestly, I'm getting to the point where it's really hard to wrestle the award away from Mr. Acuna Jr., the dynamic right fielder for the Braves. He's on pace to hit 40 home runs, over 40 home runs, and steal over 70 bases. He gets on base at over a 1,000 clip in on base plus slugging, and he hits .333. The guy gets on base, and you know what he can give you in right field. I will say, Matt Olson will get some votes. I mean, just the fact that he's an on-base machine and he hits bombs. He hits in the middle of that lineup. And then, of course, Mookie. You go out west, and, I mean, he is probably one of the best-hitting outfielders I've seen other than Ronald Acuna this season in the National League. It's not even close.
And Matt Olson, who's going to be the home run leader, who has been missed the consistency. I mean, he had a little low there for last week or the week before. But, you know, he's going to hit 60 home runs. I don't care what anybody says. He's going to hit 60 home runs.
I'd love to see it.
He gets on that tear. He can hit 60 home runs. All right, let's go to the junior circuit quick. We went over. So we'll go to 20 minutes. We usually try to stay.
We can keep it quick.
Okay. All right, rookies of the year. I got the man from the Orioles, Gunnar Henderson. I got Josh Young, I don't know how you say, from Texas. I got, of course, these two guys – I think they've fallen off a little. Tristan Casas and Matsutaka Yoshida, and then from the Cleveland Indians, Tanner Bibee, whatever you call him, and Yonner Diaz from Houston. So that was tough to pick one person top four. I mean, because they're so close, all of them.
Yeah, they really are. But I mean, Gunnar's my guy. I've liked Gunnar Henderson all season, and you know what he can do. At the plate for the Orioles, he plays terrific defense. I mean, if you're asking me to vote today, he's my vote. No question.
Why?
Because what he can do in the middle of that lineup, he finds a way to get on base pretty much every game, and you know what he can do defensively. He plays an incredibly tough position. And he takes a beating every day.
Left out, right?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to the pitching now. AL Cy Young, like I told you, you got Garrett Cole. Luis Castillo, Kevin Guzman, Sonny Gray.
Gosman. Okay. Yeah, Sonny Gray still finding a way to get it done. So, I mean, yeah, you got Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray still hanging on as the one and two guys for the Minnesota Twins.
I mean, it's just crazy. But, you know, Cole's 13-4. He goes nine innings the other night, or did he go seven innings, pitched three hits? A three-hitter, even though the Yankees got hit throughout, you know, no hit for nine innings, and they wound up winning in the 13th. But
oh, my gosh, that game was unbelievable.
Yeah, 2.79
beat the Brewers.
ERA, strikeouts, 187, strikeouts 204 in 187 innings. He does have the lowest ERA out of those four guys we mentioned, but he's been missing consistency. He's been a rock on the mound, and he's going to get two or three more starts, so he could wind up close to 16 wins.
Yeah, that's just it. Yeah, if you still like the win stat, I like that with Garrett Cole because you know he's going to give you 6 to 7 innings. That's not a cheap win.
I know. It used to be you'd want to get 7 or 8 out of your start, and now we're hoping we get 6. All right, last one, AL MVP. Of course, everybody's talking about Shohei Ohtani. Kyle Tucker for the Astros is, you know, not a common name. All right, Corey Seager's starting to come on. Randy Arozarena, I mean, who won?
Randy Arozarena, he's the ever-present outfielder for the Rays.
Big hit today for a win against the Twins. And Marcus Semien, I mean, so, you know, you got two Rangers in there that, you know, are being talked about by everybody.
Yeah, that's just it. Marcus Semien continues to be great in the infield. And, you know, Corey Seager continues to have a great year. He's probably going to have 100 RBI. And he's already got 30 bombs right now. And, I mean, if you're going to give another vote for AL MVP, I like Corey Seager a lot. I feel like he is certainly deserving for some votes. Shohei, he's special. But his elbow is not in a good place right now. His UCL is I'm interested to see what's going to happen, because this is really going to shake the market when it comes to free agency right now. But he's got 44-95. He's got the even being still coming on and DHing. He's still got the best OPS in the American League right now. And yeah, honestly, I mean, I think sheer popularity, Shohei's still going to get it.
Still bothers me. He's not going to play the last three, four innings, the last month of the season. I know if I was one of those people voting on this, it'd be tough for me to give him the MVP, because his team is not anywhere near the pennant race. These other guys are in pennant races. I just, you know, I know, and believe me, he's very special. And I finally, you know, found out that he, you know, what the unicorn meant. But he's going to be out for a month. I mean, give me a break. Let's give it to somebody that's been there the whole year, that's been in a pennant race.
Yeah. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. I'm with you. I am totally with you there. I'm just looking at the sheer numbers right now, and I really think that's going to change. And I guarantee you he's not going to be an Angel next year. So,
all right, that's inning number one in the books. A little longer than we wanted to go, but it's always fun talking Hey, it's always fun talking about the special awards we're going to get at the end. We got pennant races going on. We got wild card races going on. That's what it's all about. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Don't forget, Soundgarden lineup. We'll do this really quick. We'll do it one more at the end of the show. Friday, September 22nd. There's no show this weekend because it's Georgia, South Carolina, so you know the place is going to be packed. But September 22nd, we'll have Pandora's Box, the Ultimate Aerosmith Band tribute band. Can't wait to hear that. So then the next night, that's Friday night, the 22nd. Then Saturday night, the 23rd, we got the Alzheimer's Music Fest for Friends of Disabled Children. Lead band is Cracker. Okay, let me get to my notes here. I have my notes here. The lead band is Cracker, which you said had some popular hits, which I never even heard of, but I'm not a music guy. Then we got Amory Perry, Stuart Marshall, and Thomas Claxton and the Myth. So that's Saturday the 23rd, and then we go all the way out to October 6th. It's the Night Train. You got to love it, Kyle. Guns N' Roses.
Always a good time, and they play Coach's Corner, and they always rock it really good. So a lot of good tunes coming up here at Coach's Corner and raising some money for a really important cause.
Friends of Disabled Adults and Children and for Alzheimer's. All right, inning number one in the book, inning number two, let's chop on the Braves. It's time to focus on the Braves. And, I mean, we went through the MVP, but, I mean, this guy is having an unbelievable season. Ronald Acuña Jr., I mean, Matty Olson, Travis d'Arnaud's coming on. I mean, there's so many good things going on with the Braves. Ronald Acuña, I mean, he's the MVP in my mind. He'll play out the whole year. And, you know, 40 home runs, 70 stolen bases. Has anybody ever done that before?
Yeah, you'd be in some rarefied air by doing that. And I think he will do just that. And the Braves are in an advantageous spot. They're getting healthy, and they have the best record in baseball. It's not even close. Matt Olson has 51 home runs. The Braves have set the team home run record for Braves, and that's in the entire history, going back to Boston and Milwaukee. And, I mean, you're already starting to look at who's going to be in that playoff lineup, and it's pretty much the guys that have got you here. And the Braves are pretty much doing it with a three-headed monster at the front of that rotation with a little bit of help. Strider and Morton have been there all year, but now you get a healthy Max Fried, and you also have Bryce Elder to lean on. So my big thing right now for the Braves is find a way to stay healthy. Hopefully Snit can give a few guys a day off. You have an interesting bench with guys like Kevin Pillar, Forrest Wall, Nicky Lopez, who was picked up in a trade, and the Braves right now have a 3.5-game lead over Baltimore for the best record in baseball, and that means for the playoffs, home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs.
And did you know, okay, here's a fun fact for you. Atlanta hit 3 home runs last night, okay, and now have 281 on the season. So I'm looking at Olson looking at 60. We might be looking at the Braves hitting 300, okay? They still got 15 games to go, but, you know, it's the most in a single season by a National League team in baseball history since 2019 when the Dodgers hit 279.
Yep. Okay, yeah, I was about to say, I knew it was one of those Dodger teams. And yeah, that is just unfathomable. And the thing is, you know what this lineup can do. It's probably the scariest offensive lineup in all of baseball. It's not even close right now. And the fact of the matter is, you're getting great pitching and you're getting help out of that bullpen. And there's so many guys you don't even think of because of how potent the offensive lineup is, 1 through 9.
All right, quickly, so we can wrap this up short. Any injuries that you're worried about with the Braves with 2 weeks left to go, 15 games to go?
Well, a couple of names I'd like to throw out there right now. Of course, Dylan Lee, and he's a little bit banged up. And you know about the shin for Jesse Chavez, who's had some success with the Braves out of the pen right now, and Kyle Wright. I'm not sure if any of these guys are going to be ready to go by the end of the month or they'll be considered for the postseason roster right now. Bottom line, the guys that got you here in Raisel Iglesias, AJ Minter, Jimenez, Pierce Johnson, and of course Brad Hand, who you picked up, and Kirby Yates, who's finally healthy, and of course AJ Smith-Shawver. Those are the guys that are probably going to be the focus of your pen. So your big guys seem to be fairly healthy. You got about 2.5 weeks left. That's the biggest focus for the Braves, is don't get hurt. And tonight, of course, against Philadelphia, they have the chance to clinch their sixth straight NL East division title. And honestly, life can't get much better for the Atlanta Braves. But right now, the focus is on stay healthy for the next 2.5 weeks. Get to the dance in October.
And what's fun about this group is, like you said, they're going to clinch if they win tonight, okay, to have them rest. They don't want to rest, okay?
No.
The core of this team wants to play every day. They don't want to rest. And I'll be honest with you, Kyle, and they're going to get a bye. That's when they're going to get their rest, okay? They'll finish number one, probably battling the Dodgers, where they have a 4-game lead over the Dodgers for the best spot.
For the best spot in the National League, and they've got – a 3.5-game lead for the best record in all of baseball over the Orioles.
So, you know, that's what it's going to come down. But what Snicker said the other day, these guys don't want a break. I try to give them a break. They tell me they don't want a break. So, you know, it's pretty interesting, okay? Inning number 2 in the books, 2 games to go. Well, the magic number is 2. That means if the Braves win tonight, that means the Phillies lose. They're the NL East division winners for the 6th straight year, okay? All right, inning
go
number
Braves
3.
Tonight. Let's yeah, I need the on. Phillies to lose. Please.
I know. Let's
it helps my Cubs. Sorry.
let's jump right into inning number 3 so we keep this rolling, get back on track. We only have, we call this our local player, Savannah Bananas segment. Okay, inning number 3, local players. There's only one from South Effingham High School, J.B. Wendelken, playing over in the Japanese League. But before we get into his stats, I want you to know this. He is in the running for the top setup guys in that league. Okay, what's killing me, though, he's number 4, but he has the best ERA. He has the most innings pitched. He has the second most strikeouts. He's only given up 11 earned runs compared to the leader's 15 earned runs. And, of course, they're all Japanese players that are ahead of him. So Japanese-born players ahead of him. But J.B. Wendelken is doing a heck of a job over there across the, across the sea. Okay, across the Atlantic is the pond, so let's talk about going across the sea.
Across the Pacific, there you go. So JB Pacific continues sea. To pitch. Yeah, there you go, Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
It's ocean. You can have two.
Why not?
We have many oceans. So JB, right-hander, of course, he spent time with the A's and the Arizona Diamondbacks. We've talked about that many times. Continues to pitch well. He's a great setup guy. He's their 7th and 8th inning guy for the Yokohama Bay Stars, and he's 1-2, 1.95 ERA in 52 games. This guy's durable. 50 and two-thirds innings pitched. He's got a nice whip right now of 1.086. He's got 46 strikeouts, only 19 walks. He does not give up the long ball. He can get the strikeout, and he can get the ground ball. And honestly, you know what? The fact that he's in the running for some postseason awards in the Nippon Professional Baseball League means, as I've said several times, and I feel like I've said it probably for the last month, he's going to get some looks to come back to Major League Baseball. He might get an invite. We'll see how. I'm just happy he's doing well.
Well, it's pretty exciting. And he pitched today, too, by the way. They played already. I think they got 14 games to go. I mean, they're not going to be in the playoffs. They're 16 games out. He pitched today, one inning. No hits, strikeout. So he's doing a good job over there in Japan.
typical day at the office.
Japan League. Okay. And the other guy, Al Pesto, his season's been over since August 24th. You know, a little
great story, though.
Yep, great story. Signed in June, coming out of rehab, went to Duke on a full scholarship, hurt his back, went down to Southeastern University in Florida, did a heck of a job there, and got picked up by the Toronto Blue Jays. All right, Savannah Bananas, it's almost over, okay? Here's my stats, buddy. All right, there's two games left. I know people probably don't notice. The Party Animals have won seven games in a row. All the Savannah Bananas had to do was win one game that clinched the series for the season. So they're playing in Syracuse tomorrow night. So if the Animals knock off the Bananas, okay, they're one game out, and then they'll go into Cooperstown, play a double-day field on Saturday. They win that, it's a tie. And you know Jesse Cole's not going to let this end in a tie. He'll probably bring her back to Savannah to play a playoff, you know what I mean?
I have no doubt about that, and that's what makes it so much fun. I mean, you think about the great season that the Bananas have had. They've gone all over the country, a New England trip, a Mid-Atlantic trip, a Midwestern trip. They went out to California, played in Kansas City, and, of course, all the great games at Grayson Stadium, and now they get to do some really special things. The 14th, they will be in Syracuse, take on the Party Animals. And then finally, they get to do and go to a place that few teams have ever been able to go. And who would have thought several years ago the Savannah Bananas would be playing at Doubleday Field at Cooperstown, New York? That's a heck of a way to end your season on the 16th. Going to be a lot of fun. I've still never made it to Cooperstown, but I sure want to go.
You know, it's got to be something special. I haven't been there yet either, and I grew up in New York, but we never made it over to Cooperstown. It's just a phenomenal season. But there's one thing I got to say that I'm going to stick up for the Savannah Bananas. All this talk throughout the whole summer, the 85 games, is they're the Harlem Globetrotters. Well, if they were the Harlem Globetrotters, they would have never lost a game to the Party Animals. And that's something Jesse Cole, Jared Orton, Emily Cole, that whole group, they put up two evenly matched teams. So if you're a baseball purist like we are, and we know there's some strange rules that some of us don't like, some of us like, but
there's pageantry.
The games were competitive. So it wasn't like the Harlem Globetrotters playing the Washington Generals and, losing once every 200 games. So, I got it, and it's good baseball. It's fun watching them play baseball. I mean, some of the rules, like we said, and seeing them play the same team over and over again, for some people it's kind of tough. But I'm just telling you what, they put out a good product. They put out competitive baseball. It's over in 2 hours. I know they really don't get a full nine innings in, but you know what? America's loving it. The youth, as I would say, is loving it. And that's what it's all about. Getting people to love the game of baseball again. And maybe that'll lead to putting people back in the ballparks there, buddy.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a lot of fun. And honestly, for both of these squads, these are not college summer league players. These are professional players. These are players that have had opportunities to play professional baseball. And the Coles and Jared Orton, they would not put these guys out there. They actually put players out there that actually can play the game of baseball. It's not a complete joke. There's talent out there. You're going to see guys hit 400-foot home runs because they can.
Well, mark my words, like I've said plenty of times before to a lot of people, we will have a banana ball league coming into those ballparks. Coming into those ballparks that were stripped of their minor league teams because the MLB didn't want to have 64 minor league baseball teams. 24 cities lost their minor league teams. Don't be surprised if Jesse Cole has teams in each league, and they're different teams, so it might make it a little more interesting that they're not just playing the Party Animals every night.
I don't doubt it for a second. They prove me wrong every single time. So all right. Keep on.
Inning number three in the books. We're back on track. We got 5 minutes to go. Inning number four, we're playing a little baseball trivia. When this started out 6 years ago, we took five questions. It took us almost a half an hour. So we cut it down to two questions. Then if we both are tied, we go to one bonus question. And if we don't get it right there, we stay tied. But right now this year, no ties. It's 5-5. I've won
five games. No ties.
He's won five games. So to start off tonight, buddy, you're up first. So here's the first question I'm throwing at you. Inning number four, a little of who's on first base, who's on first base, baseball podcast trivia. All right, my wife, my wife is listening to me out there, and she gave me a trivia question to ask you. She said, I listen to you. She said, I listen to you every week. I heard this on the radio today. Who's the first play of who's the first baseball team ever to travel on a plane to play a game? Just give me the team. I'm not going to ask you for the year. Just give me the team.
Oh, wow.
Courtesy of the New York Met lover, Dee DeMasi. You got a Dodger lover, I got a Met lover.
Wow. I didn't know that. Wow, yeah. That's crazy. Okay, all right. Let me – all right. I gotta remember because, of course, you know, it became very commonplace once you had expansion teams, and, of course, there's teams on the West Coast. But I know that happened considerably earlier. I'm actually going to go the Kansas City Monarchs.
Got a little music playing there for you. Okay, good try. The Cincinnati Red Stockings.
Oh!
In 1934, GM Larry McPhil flew 19 of his players to play in Chicago for a series with who? The Cubbies.
Wow. Wow. I actually thought it would have been a Negro League team. But I know that McPhail was an innovator, so hey, there you go.
And then the Yankees started taking it. See, this is what I argued with my wife. The guy on the radio this morning, one of our local radio stations that she listens to, said that the Yankees were the first team in 1946. I said, no, they weren't.
Not true.
I said, I wasn't exactly sure, so I looked it up. It wasn't the Yankees. It was the Cincinnati Red Stockings. All right, bottom of the first. Throw it at me, buddy. Throw that curveball.
All right. Man, maybe I made this too easy tonight. We'll see. Okay. Matt Olson hit his 51st home run. Who did he tie?
Andrew Jones.
There you go. Easy one. Sorry. I've been under duress at work, so there you go. All right.
Top of the second.
1-0.
You don't get this. The coach gets the W back here on Woman. Well, it stayed here because it was a tie. I wasn't going to give you the W back yet. All right, we both
go for it.
We got to get that flag with the white W. We got to exchange it after whoever wins each week, and we got to put it out there on the front lawn.
Yeah, I got two of them.
I don't have any. All right. There are two active players share the record for the most home runs from the number two hole in a season. Okay, who are they? They're two active players. See, I'm not giving you the old time stuff.
Ah, yeah, you've grown into a worthy adversary. Oh, from the number two hole. Okay, so you got to look at somebody with a little bit of speed, and might have a little bit of power.
Two active players share this record.
Oh, I'm just furious right now. Okay. Jose Altuve and I'm really hating this right now. I don't know. I got nothing.
Nothing. Chankies, we're the Chankies. 2022, the good old Aaron Judge hit 47 home runs from the number two hole. In 2017, I guess he did it, he did it with, was he with the Yankees then or with the Marlins? Gino Carlos Stanton with 47.
Crazy. I never would have guessed that they would bat in that two hole. You got me. You take the lead. Well done. You got six wins. You got the lead, and it's coming down to the stretch. You might actually take it home.
Got to make that W, buddy. We got that W going to be flying. I got to buy myself a white flag with that blue W on it. I got to do it. So, but it's always live.
They're fairly affordable.
So, all right, save your questions. We're done. We're right on track with this one. 40 minutes tonight, buddy.
Hey, there we go, man. We stayed on track. We always do it in that first segment, but hey, Good show. You got me once again in trivia. And, man, I cannot wait until we get after next week, 1 week closer to playoff baseball.
Okay. Don't forget, Soundgarden, nothing this Friday, Saturday night. Again, come back Friday, September 22nd. We got Pandora's Box, the Ultimate Aerosmith tribute band. And they're excellent. They are excellent. Go to Eventbrite, get your tickets. Then on the next night, Saturday, September 23rd, we have Friends of Disabled Adults and Children playing at the Coach's Corner in the Alzheimer's Music Festival. Some of the proceeds will go to Alzheimer's. Okay. Cracker, Tonks Claxton the Myth, Annie Marie Phillips, and I can't forget who the, I forgot who the fourth.
Hey, it's all for a good cause. It's all for a good cause. Eventbrite, go get it.
And then a week off, and then they come back October 6th. The Soundgarden will be hopping again Friday night. Guns N' Roses, Night Train, okay, tribute experience. So as we say every week, please say a prayer for what's going on in this crazy world in the Ukraine, in the United States. But that's why we do this. It takes our mind off the crazy world. Hopefully it'll take your mind off for 40 minutes to an hour, whichever how long we go. But it's always been a lot of fun. So remember, whatever you're doing today, tomorrow, Kyle, what are you going to do?
Always hit it out of the park.
And until we talk to you next week.
May it be your best week ever. See you next time, Coach.
I have a good one, and we got to thank John Henderson and the crew for letting us do this. Remember, it's the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, because it's all part of the
Coach's Corner Sports Network.
And remember, always play ball. Go Cubbies!
Go Cubs.
I'm rooting for the Orioles, but I didn't say that.
Turn it off!
I'm trying to find the button. There we go. We're out of here. Peace out, everybody.